Did anybody see a link between the two readings this morning? Weddings, yes. Okay, thank you. Not the most tangential of links. Sometimes you think, what does that one go with that one? But this time it's quite obvious. And when you look back, you realise that among the very, very first things that God created was marriage between Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve were a model for millions to follow down the ages. As it says in Genesis 2, that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. And so it is that thousands of years later, we still celebrate marriage with all sorts of special wedding ceremonies and traditions. And as I start, I'd like to remind you of the beautiful and frankly astonishing wedding promises and vows that couples make and that many of you have made to your partner. So if I take Jonathan and myself as the names, one of the things is that the priest asked Jonathan, will you take Dawn to be your wife? Will you love her, comfort her, honour and protect her, and forsaking all others, be faithful to her as long as you both shall live? And he answers, I will. And then we get to the vows, and we each say, so in this instance, I, Dawn, take you, Jonathan, to be my husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish till death us do part. According to God's holy law, in the presence of God, I make this vow. Do you know, humanly speaking, these vows are completely bonkers and unrealistic. But as Jesus said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. And as you noticed, our readings today were both about weddings. First, the wedding at Cana. And we didn't get the commentary at the end of the story. But what John says at the end of the story about the wedding in Cana is, what Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. How wonderful to do your first miracle at a wedding party. Jesus demonstrated that not only healing people's bodies and minds mattered, or even raising from the dead, but also helping celebrate a new marriage, helping a party going with a swing, helping a family avoid the shame of not providing enough for all their guests. And how splendidly extravagant, not just to provide enough wine, but to provide the best wine. No second best stuff when it comes to Jesus. Anyhow, to get you in the mood to think about weddings, I am very honoured indeed to be able to share a few special wedding photos from some members of the church family and some of my own. So, here we go. Ooh. Now, this is the first picture is of the wedding of my father and my stepmum, Judith. This took place when I was just 19. It was a wonderful day, a second chance at happiness for both of them. And for me, the chance to give a speech at my own dad's wedding, not something that many people get to do. Recognise this young couple? That's 21 years ago. Jonathan and I got married up at Smalley, where I used to live. We did have a truly wonderful day, but there were a few problems. Not least amongst that the bridesmaid that you see on the right there, her dress didn't fit. Somehow the dressmaker managed to make completely the wrong size dress, posted it down to London the week before, and when she tried it on, she said to her boyfriend, you can zip it up now, to which he said, I already have done. She says, what do you think? He said, put it this way, there's plenty of room to keep your hymn book. She sent it back and they altered it. We tried it on the night, she tried it on the night before the wedding. It didn't fit. They took it away and worked on it overnight. They brought it back on the morning of the wedding. It didn't fit. They took it away and worked on it. And we had the car waiting outside before we had the dress. But anyway, it didn't fall off. So it wasn't a perfect fit, but we got on there. Helga was telling me that when their daughter Astrid got married, they did up her Mini and they used some black stuff to black out the wheels. And unfortunately, thinking about things going wrong, a bit of it came off on her wedding dress. And so when they were taking the photos, Mike had to stand with his leg carefully positioned in front of the black bit on the dress. So there are ways around things. Now then, who's this?
Oh.
They're sitting here this morning. It's Jim and Marion. Quite a few years ago, they were very young and very broke and very in love. Marion told me it was Grand National Day and the horse Lucky Jim was running. It didn't win, but there was one Lucky Jim that day. Jim knew how to treat his new wife. They called at the Chippy in Langley Mill on their way off on honeymoon, spilling confetti out of their pockets and causing a bit of a stir, had a wedding night in Leicester and then two nights in Weston-super-Mare. It's been all downhill from there. Brilliant. But not all couples are quite so lucky to be married so long and so happily. This is the wedding of my best friend, Ruth. Very special day for me because I was bridesmaid. The first time I'd been bridesmaid as an adult. But sadly, Ruth died of breast cancer 6 years ago after just under 10 years of married life. A very, very happy married life, but a very short one. Now then, can you recognise this couple? They can't be here today because they're not very well. Yeah, Joan and John Fleming. Okay. And can you recognise any of the bridesmaids? We got Pauline. Yeah? Here she is. Great hairdos. Marvellous. Lovely. And I think that's brilliant. Friends then, friends now. And it's getting on for 50 years ago that the wedding was. I've also got some photos from John and Joan's eldest daughter Catherine's wedding to Carl. So that's here in All Saints before the reordering. And the choir turned out in force. John was in the choir at the time. So you might see a few familiar faces, those of you who've been in All Saints for a while, some of whom have moved away, some of whom have passed away. But a great celebratory wedding photo. And now then, last one. You're going to recognise these. Oops, click. Oh, now they were so young. 21, I think, Rachel. 21. When I asked Rachel, you know, what was particularly special about it, she said, ridiculously young though we were, it felt like the beginning of a mighty, wondrous, God-given adventure, which is a lovely way of putting it. And look at this. Okay, this is the two surprising everyone by going away on their honeymoon on a tandem in homemade dungarees that they'd made specially for the occasion. And Rachel's dad surprised them by, as they ran out of the garage to set off, by having rigged up a loudspeaker and playing Daisy Daisy over the loudspeaker. Like Marion and Jim, they had lots of confetti taped down them, and when they went to the loo in the service station on their way to honeymoon, there was confetti all over the toilets. So, brilliant. Okay, so, thank you. Thank you very much to everyone who supplied a few their memories of those. It's lovely. And I'm sure that if I said to you, think of weddings in the past, you'd have your own lovely memories to draw on. So, how would you feel if I told you now that you were going to be invited to a wedding, a very special wedding indeed? I think there'd be a bit of a mixture. Many of you would be honoured and excited. A wedding, after all, is a very significant and special event. Chance to witness the commitment being made by your friend or family member. You might look forward to this special occasion and the ceremony and the special clothes and speeches and food and drink. You might look forward to meeting old friends or family. Perhaps or meeting new and interesting people. For you, I'd be describing a treat, and you would like to be invited. For you, probably any wedding you're invited to would be a very special wedding indeed. Perhaps, however, if I told you you were going to be invited to a wedding, you would feel pleased, but also feel the familiar ache that it's not your wedding. That once again, you're the guest or even best man, but not the bridegroom. Or the guest or even bridesmaid, but not the bride. Because you never got that together with that special person for you and had the opportunity to be planning all those special wedding details yourself. And that can make other people's weddings quite difficult to bear, however hard you might try. So in that case, how would you feel to be planning your own wedding? Now that would be a very special wedding indeed. Or perhaps the very thought of a wedding makes you feel apprehensive because you're really not comfortable in crowds or worried about not looking posh enough or behaving posh enough or knowing what to say or how to behave. You're worried about letting the side down, perhaps, or maybe about the other people at the wedding ceremony causing problems. The last thing you want to be is the centre of attention for the wrong reason. What you would like to know is that it's a wedding designed for you with everything that would make you feel comfortable. The right place, the right people, the right gear, the right food, the right music, the lot. Now that would be a special wedding. Or maybe for you the issue with weddings is the memories they stir up. You're genuinely pleased for the happy couple and want to celebrate with them, but the whole event rekindles pain. Perhaps because your marriage partner of many years or of too few years has died and you still miss him or her. Or it may stir up pain because your husband or wife let you down or hurt you and you're no longer together. Or he or she was just not what you were hoping and expecting, and married life has turned out to be challenging and disappointing. So then seeing another couple all dewy-eyed brings back all the pain. You would like to go to another couple's wedding and not feel any pain or difficult memories, to just feel positive and happy again. That would be a very special wedding indeed for you. Now, I'm not inviting you to a wedding, but I know a man who is. What we discover from our reading in Revelation is that you are each being invited to a wedding, or rather, the wedding. This is the wedding to end all weddings. And what's more, this wedding will be so special that it will be entirely positive for you, whatever your usual feelings and emotions. At this wedding, you are the specially chosen bride, but not the only centre of attention. You are given beautiful clothes to wear that will be just right for the occasion and are comfortable and in your natural style. At this wedding, there will be no painful memories, no painful emotions, and no difficult guests. God says of the wedding guests in Revelation 7, "He who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat." And just a couple of verses on from our reading in Revelation 21, it says again that God will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. So I'm going to talk a bit more about this wedding that we're all invited to, as described in Revelation 19. The bridegroom at the wedding is the Lamb of God, and that is Jesus, who appears in all his glory at the end of time. The title Lamb of God indicates Jesus' complete purity, and also that he has already sacrificed himself to make each of us right with God. And the bride at his wedding is the church. That's all of us here, and all of those folks that used to be here but have gone before us. It's everyone across the road at the Methodist and the Catholic Church and at Springs of Living Water. It's people at Baptist and Lutheran and Anglican and Orthodox and every other denomination around the world. It's Christians all down the ages. It's Christians all around the world and down the ages. That's one amazing party. It is your wedding, but it's not just your wedding. Frankly, we can't possibly get our heads around a wedding to millions of people. It seems very weird. But I want to talk a little bit about why God makes such an amazing fuss about the church and why Jesus says at the end of time he's going to have the church as his bride. You see, the church is God's plan for the whole world to find out about Jesus. If I do a quick whiz-through tour of history, we can see the different ways that God has connected with his people. In the beginning, God created man in the form of Adam and Eve and had an intimate relationship with them in the Garden of Eden. But man rebelled and had to leave that place and cope with all sorts of pain and difficulty. Then God called Abraham and made a covenant with him, a solemn and binding promise to him and his descendants that they would be God's special people, Israel. God gave them ways to worship him and communicate with him and be forgiven for their sins. When Israel went away from him, God sent prophets to warn them, to plead with them, to inspire them. Sometimes the people listened, but often they did not. So eventually God sent Jesus, his only beloved Son, who brought the kingdom of heaven down to earth, demonstrating with wisdom and grace and acceptance of all, and with signs and wonders, what life with God looks like. As you know, Jesus was crucified despite having lived a perfect life and took upon himself all our sins and inadequacies. Jesus died and was buried, but then the supernatural broke through and he raised to life again. And after appearing to hundreds of people on earth for 40 days, Jesus went back to heaven, which is where he is now. So we live in the in-between time between Jesus' first coming to earth and his return to earth, this time in tremendous glory. And when Jesus comes back is when the wedding to end all weddings will take place. But before then, God's plan is not actually based on apostles or vicars or other ministers or bishops or great leaders. God's plan to reveal himself to all nations before Jesus returns is a very simple one. He wants people who believe and trust in Jesus to gather together in groups, which we call churches, to demonstrate what life with Jesus looks like. He wants us, the church, to do this like Jesus did, with wisdom and grace and acceptance of all and with signs and wonders. He expects us, the church, to be such a variety of shapes and sizes, personalities and backgrounds that we connect with all people and welcome them into the eternal dance, which is life in partnership with God. Here at All Saints, we are one tiny outpost of the church universal. But nevertheless, we are called to connect with people in our corner of the world. Rachel has coined the phrase, All Saints, All Sorts. And as is often the case with what Rachel says, that's a tremendously prophetic word. To reach out to Ripley and surroundings, we need to be all sorts. So if you feel like you don't really fit in here, please take heart. You are just what is needed to enable other people like you to feel safe and secure here. So please, please hang around. Now, no one would argue that through the ages, both locally and nationally and internationally, the church has often seemed to make a real mess of things. And I'm, you know, dubious to criticise God, but, you know, really, is it a very good plan? But nevertheless, it would appear that Jesus loves us, warts and all, as churches. Here's what it says in Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. And that is the description of us prepared as the bride of Christ. Often we really don't feel like a radiant church that is holy and blameless, but that is how Jesus sees us. Wonderful indeed. So I hope I've given you a taste of why the church is special and how God's whole plan of salvation for the world is actually founded on us and all our friends. What's more, when Jesus returns, he's planned this amazing wedding where he will make new promises to us, his church, his bride, who are going to be with him for eternity. So here's a few details about this wedding at the end of time. Verse 9 talks us about us being wedding guests rather than the bride, which may be an easier analogy to understand, especially for all the blokes. But there are similar implications. Being invited to a wedding is special. You've been chosen. You need to dress up. It is a very special occasion. At this wedding, Revelation says we will be given fine linen, bright and clean to wear. So as the bride of Christ, we will be clothed in expensive outfits. What's more, it says that our beautiful clothes represent the righteous acts of the saints. What a curious thing to say. Now, we're not saved by good works, by righteous acts, we know that. But what Revelation says is that we are made beautiful by them, not just individually, but corporately, as a group, as a church. How marvellous that Jim taking Jacob to the job centre and hospital this week, or Noel or Barbara or Lorraine baking for us, or Robert cleaning the toilets, helps make us all beautiful as a bride. It says in Ephesians 2, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And those good works that you do, sometimes in secret, are preparing clothes for us to wear at the end of time. At this wedding, there will also be tremendous celebrations, so loud, it says, that they will sound like thunder or even a tsunami. That's because the bride is the church, which is every Christian down the ages, so really is a very large number of people. And all the angels and archangels will be there too to lend a hand to the celebrations. Some people have bells rung on their wedding day. I'm sure some of you have done that here at All Saints. Some, like Catherine and Carl, have a choir to swell the singing. And Helga told me another little story about when she and Roy got married. They took a brief stroll after lunch on their wedding day, and a little steam train passed by in the distance and actually hooted and whistled at them because they'd obviously spotted the wedding dress and veil that Helga was wearing. And I thought that was a lovely symbol of that jubilant noise and celebration of a wedding. At this wedding, there will also be special food. It says we're invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And I don't think it's too much to suppose that Jesus, who changed water into wine in Cana, will also provide the finest wine and drinks for his own wedding. So in summary then, you are personally invited to a wedding where you will feel completely comfortable, where there'll be no unhappy memories or regrets. At this wedding, nothing will go wrong, and everyone there will live for eternity. You are invited to a wedding where you are the chosen bride and the honoured guest. You are invited to a wedding where the bridegroom has given up his life for you and will never, ever let you down. You are invited to a wedding where there are countless wonderful guests, all of whom you will feel at ease with. At this wedding, you are given expensive and lovely clothes that feel just right to you. You enjoy delicious food and drink and join in with tumultuous celebrations such as you have never experienced or even imagined before. This is indeed the wedding to end all weddings. And you, along with all Christians throughout history, are the precious and chosen bride. This wedding could be taking place next week, or next month, or next year. It could be in 10 or 100 or even 1,000 years. Whilst I know that you are invited, if you've put your trust in Jesus, I'm afraid the one thing I absolutely can't tell you is the date of the wedding. Because this very special wedding will take place at the end of time, when Jesus comes back to claim his bride, his church. If you die before the invites go out, don't worry. The dead in Christ will rise first to join him in the sky and process to the wedding celebrations. Meanwhile, while you look forward, I hope, to this truly amazing celebration, please join with everyone here in building God's kingdom on earth, his church, so that together we can invite many, many more people to join the wedding to end all weddings. Amen.